Good morning. Today is Monday, the 12th of May. My name is Chris Hutting, and this is the latest risk alert from the Center for Risk Analysis. This is a service for CRA subscribers brought to you every Monday morning at 7 a.m. by the CRA, helping you make better decisions. In this week's risk alert, we begin with an assessment of an emergent risk for the Democratic Alliance. We then discuss Deputy President Paul Mashatile's positioning ahead of the 2027 ANC elective conference before reviewing phase two of Operation Vulindlela, which was announced last week. We then turn to new spending plans announced by the Joburg Mayor, Dada Marrero, before closing with an update on the diplomatic and trade relationship between the US and South Africa. The Democratic Alliance faces an emerging political risk stemming from its unprecedented breakthrough among black voters. According to recent polling by the Institute of Race Relations and the CRA, the DA tripled its support among black registered voters from 5% to 18% between October of 2024 and April of 2025. The gain, driven by a sharp focus on opposing value-added tax increases and advancing economic growth policies, has positioned the DA ahead of the ANC nationally, polling at 30.3% to the ANC's 29.7%. This realignment of voter support has unsettled the political status quo and is likely prompting a strategic backlash aimed at undermining the DA's newly broadened appeal. There are indications that political rivals from the ANC to Action SA to the Economic Freedom Fighters are attempting to bait the DA into defending positions that could be framed as anti-black, thereby weakening its cross-racial traction and newly gained foothold in support from black voters. These attempts include renewed public focus on historically sensitive flashpoints such as so-called Afrikaner enclaves, Orania and Kleinfontein, as well as rejuvenated contentious policy debates around race-based employment equity targets. There is a strong likelihood of sudden movement on expropriation without compensation or the Basic Education Laws Amendment Bill, particularly where language of instruction and Afrikaans schools can be used to suggest the DA defends minority privilege over transformation. Targeted provocations around these issues, when weaponized, create a narrative trap as follows. If the DA condemns racism, it may still be accused of insufficient transformation. If it sidesteps the issues, it risks appearing complicit. The ANC, now registering only 37% support among black voters, has a clear incentive to elevate identity-based controversies and reassert race as the defining political fault line. In such an environment, even isolated incidents could be elevated into national spectacles, strategically timed to sow renewed race-based distrust of the DA, and thereby costing it its momentum and heightened traction among black voters in particular. The Deputy President of the ANC and of South Africa, Paul Mashatile, is using all his private and public engagements to put forward his policy preferences, as well as his vision for the ANC and the country. This is all with a keen focus on building support for his party presidency campaign that will culminate at the 2027 party elective conference, where his biggest challenger will likely be the current Secretary General of the party, Fikile Mbalula. Mr. Mashatile is positioning himself as an opponent of the DA's involvement in the government of national unity and is leaning into populist policies on the domestic front. While speaking in the Eastern Cape, he told attendees, quote, "We shall further use the Expropriation Act as a tool to advance land justice. I know some do not like this act, but we will implement it whether they like it or not." End quote. This can be read as a veiled threat to the DA and its voters. Operation Vulindlela, a joint initiative of the Presidency and National Treasury, is the government's flagship reform program, intended to secure structural reforms aimed at accelerating economic growth. The program was launched in 2020 and has failed to lift the economic growth rate, which registered at 0.6% in 2024 and 0.7% in the year before. The unemployment rate has remained stubbornly stuck above 30% since the initiative was launched. Last week, President Ramaphosa launched the second phase of Operation Vulindlela, which is aimed at improving performance in local government, addressing spatial inequality, and supporting digital transformation. Its impact on economic growth is likely to be insubstantial as that of the first phase because it ignores key policy constraints on growth, including threats to property rights, race-based distortions in hiring and procurement, lacking accountability in government, and weak law enforcement. Between 2012 and 2023, South Africa's economy grew at an average 0.8% per year. Fixed investment as a share of GDP, as measured by gross fixed capital formation, has struggled to breach the 15% mark. That is far below the global average of 26% or the government's own target of 30%. Ongoing threats to property rights, high crime rates, unreliable electricity and water supply, and a teetering logistics network all contribute to keeping fixed investment low and, with it, economic growth. As long as the barriers to fixed investment are not removed, initiatives such as Operation Vulindlela will not be successful in accelerating economic growth meaningfully. Just last week, Moody's cut its growth forecast for South Africa from 1.7% in February to 1.5%. Manufacturing contracted for a second consecutive quarter in the first quarter of this year, declining by 2.3%. The sector contributes between 12 to 13% of South Africa's GDP, and its contraction is expected to be a significant drag on overall first quarter GDP growth. In terms of output, manufacturing is 8% lower than it was before the start of the COVID-19 lockdowns in 2020. An index measuring anticipated business conditions in the coming 6 months has started pointing towards contraction. Johannesburg, South Africa's commercial capital and a proud city in rapid decline thanks to political instability, corruption and mismanagement, will be one of the most important battlegrounds in the upcoming local government elections. Despite its worsening condition, Johannesburg remains important, contributing 44% of Gauteng's provincial GDP and 15% of South Africa's GDP. However, in 2023, the Auditor General found that Johannesburg had lost 21.8 billion rand to waste, irregular deals and unauthorized spending. For context, the city's budget for 2024-25 is 76.4 billion rand. The upcoming local government elections can take place anytime in a 3-month window from early November 2026 to early February 2027, but are most likely to be held at the beginning of that period. That means they are less than 18 months away. Political parties are already starting their campaign preparations to start influencing how voters perceive them. In a recent poll conducted by the Brenthurst Foundation, 78% of Johannesburgers said their city was going in the wrong direction. When asked which party they would vote for, 33% opted for the DA, up from 26% in the 2021 local government election, while 32% chose the ANC, down from 34%. The elections are shaping up to be hotly contested, with last week's motion of no confidence in the mayor and the speaker from the Democratic Alliance an early indication of conflicts to come. In his State of the City address, the executive mayor of Johannesburg, Mr. Dada Morero, last week announced plans to spend billions of rands to improve service delivery and upgrade infrastructure, despite describing the city's financial situation as quote-unquote fragile. Notably, Mr. Morero announced investments in poorer areas, such as Diepsloot, Orange Farm and Zandspruit, but none for the areas where the city collects most of its rates. Instead, ratepayers were threatened, with the mayor promising the city would be, quote, robust in collecting revenue from those who have the means to pay, end quote, and adding that the city had, quote, no choice but to insist on proper financial discipline, end quote. This will further raise the ire of Johannesburg ratepayers, who are forced to pay escalating fees and levies while receiving worsening services. Our call is that Mr. Morero's plans will have little impact ahead of the election because time is too short, money is too little, and the administration skills are inadequate. And finally, the US is one of South Africa's most valuable trading and investment partners and a key potential source of funding to increase South Africa's rate of fixed investment. However, the diplomatic relationship remains fraught, with sources in Washington, D.C. confirming that the South African government's attempts to improve them have so far been unsuccessful. Reasons mentioned included that there was no willingness in Washington to entertain arguments from the South African side based on a sense of grievance or entitlement, that no proposals for a deal worthy of discussion had been presented, and that South African envoys did not have the power to strike a deal. Pressure is mounting over mounting over the lack of progress because the temporary suspension of a 31% US import tariff on goods from South Africa expires on the 9th of July, or in 58 days. That is all from us for this week. We wish you a successful week ahead, and we'll be back with you next week, Monday morning at 7 a.m. sharp, with the latest risk alerts.